I know that the style of this schmooze is not going to be like something that we've done in the past. It's going to be based on a letter that was written to me and a letter that I wrote back. And I feel that the lesson that I was trying to impart is something that can affect all of us. But unfortunately, I feel like this has to be a constant reminder that the world that we're living in is a world that pushes us to say there is no God, that pushes us to say that anything we see is real, and anything that we think is real, something outside that, you know, a God that can't be visible, is something that is not real. So this was written to a friend of mine in England. He is an assistant rav at a shul in England, a very, very large shul, over 1,500 families part of this shul. And somebody wrote him this question. It says, "Dear, I have a question that would be interested in your thoughts, or perhaps you could point me in the right direction to find an answer. It's been bothering me for a while, but the current parshiot reminded me that I never really got around to finding an answer, so please do not feel you need to respond with speed. My question is about biblical time. Time is described in the Torah. On many occasions, time seems relevant to the biblical narrative, yet to me at least the rules on the time appear to change. For example, in Bereshit, the story of creation is biblically 6 days, which can be understood to fit within the scientific understanding of creation, if we take it that these 6 biblical days do not obey the same laws of space-time that we live by." Fine, she says, I get that. Then Noah was in his 600th year and was on the building project for 120 years. Are we still considering time differently, as in the creation at that point? Or is this the same as everything else? The lives of the patriarchs and matriarchs are also in a different order to our lives that we have today. We also have examples of biblical time being similar to time as we understand today, so that it took Joseph 2 years to get out of jail. Are those really 2 years, as in 2 by 365 days, each made up of 24 hours? Did the famine in Egypt really last 7 years? Why are these times so specific and concrete, and yet creation and their concepts so abstract? Maybe I'm thinking too much about the logistics and missing the bigger picture, and I could accept that. Any thoughts, welcome. With best wishes, Lucy. That's not a made-up name. I don't think she'll be listening, so I think it'll be okay. So that was the question. I'm sure you've all heard versions of this type of question before. It's the basic question of how old is the universe? She's already coming in with a given. The given is that the world is 15 billion years old, that the 6 days of creation are not actual days, but rather billions of years spread out within those 6 days. And that's how she's coming in. And if that's so, if time in the Torah is arbitrary, then her question is valid and legit. Why can't all time in the Torah be arbitrary? Maybe we weren't in Mitzrayim for 210 or 430 years. That is a strange thing altogether. Maybe Yosef wasn't really in jail for 2 years. Why is this different from everything else? Okay, that seems to be your question. So what I wrote back was, what Lucy is referring to is the famous essay of Dr. Gerald Schroeder, which allows for Einstein's theory of relativity to be applied generously to the first 6 days of creation, allowing for the first 6 days to be pseudo-days in God's viewpoint from outside the world. He is looking in, so to speak, thus permitting to understand the current scientific theory of our world being 15 billion years old to be within the framework of the Torah's circa 6 days. His math is interesting, but the concept is fascinating and is thought-provoking. I have some valid arguments for and against this theory, but know that there is a reason why our rabbis have told us in Chagiga, in the second parak, that the age of the universe is not something for us to delve deeply into. Just like Eov was told by Eliu ben Barkael, Eliu ben Barkael was the fourth friend, the person who came at the end, that at a certain point our minds will draw blank and not be able to fully understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mastery of the world. The same goes with creation. If we see that the world is filled with a nature that makes sense, with people doing good who get rewarded and people doing bad being punished in a general sense, then even if once in a while something happens that questions our faith, that cannot be enough to break the system. That's the basic lesson behind Sefer Eov. The basic idea behind the book itself is that although there are questions that we can have, if the system is there, it's not broken by an individual issue that might come up. That's the basic idea. God made an awesome world, and so almost everything goes the way the Torah prescribes it to be so. I can question when something bad happens to me or someone that I know, but ultimately I have to accept that God rules everything, and even this makes sense to Him and in His plan, even if it makes no sense to me. That's the basic idea of Anyu. If so, creation is in the same way. Even if these days are relatively speaking days, it makes no sense to say the sun, moon, and stars were created a day after there were plants and vegetation throughout the earth. That makes no sense. How can plants grow without photosynthesis? Even if the light created on day one is a supernova light hole, which has not yet been detected by astronomers but hypothesized by them, how would that allow for plants to grow? And without a sun, there's no gravity. How would everything exist the way that we have today without this concept of gravity or the rules that we have in our world? How could there be plants? If the Torah felt 31 psukim were enough for us to know the basics of creation, then so be it. That's it. We are given no data, no structure to help us understand it, no references to base it on all. We call it Maisa Bereshis. That's what the Gemara calls it in Chagiga. And we are told that some of our greatest sages didn't know this esoteric wisdom. We can make guesses, but no more than that. What I'm getting at is that the assumption that all years, we have to go under the assumption, I'm sorry, the assumption must be that all years in the Torah are normal unless proven otherwise. And I'm saying proven with almost air quotes. In the 6 days of creation, Hashem created a universe that seems that it has been around for 15 billion years. That is the concept, and that's that. Maybe even more. But of course, if I believe that God created it, and God has the possibility of creating a world, then He would do it in a way that defies our logic. And I can't question how it could have happened in 6 days, or why 6 days were even needed in the first place. So Noah was 600 years old at the time of the Mabul. Perhaps the world before the deluge, the Mabul, had a different atmosphere, a different structure that allowed for longer lives and healthier people. Maybe that was necessary for their education, their scientific knowledge. Perhaps there was a different plan for the generation of giants that lived before the Mabul itself. It seems clear that their years were pretty consistent, with the exception of Enoch, one of my favorite names in all Tanakh. It comes close to Hoham, but it's not the same, right? But with the exception of Hanoch, everybody lived 800, 900 years. That seems to be clear until the flood in 1656. And after that, every subsequent generation began to die younger and younger. It seems clear that this is a result of the flood and how it affected our lifespans, our air, our atmosphere, and possibly changing what the rainbow was from before the Mabul to what it is today, the prism structure that it is today. Avram lived for 175 years, only 3,700 years ago. And everything else would be the same under this basic concept. Ah, but what about those 6 days, 5,778 years ago? What about dinosaur bones? What about our prehistoric relatives? What about our geological formations and half-lives of carbon data? So Dr. Schroeder, who I've spoken to twice, will concede his theory is difficult and not a conclusion. It helps us understand, but it isn't without problems. I wish I knew more. I could tell you about the Medrash Rabbah, about the 6 previously destroyed worlds, which coincides with the current theory of 6 mass extinctions on this planet before we're in our 7th world today. I could tell you Rabbi Victor Miller's theory on tree rings of day one and what it meant and what they were and what they were all about. I could go through the Netziv that questions the concept of carbon data in the first place. He didn't have the real concept of carbon data, but that systems based on geology cannot be trusted based on what happened in the Mabul itself. My own personal theories, which I've spoken to people about. But in the end, I don't know if it matters. I don't know if any of this matters. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended for us to understand how it happened, He would have given us more than 31 psukim. There would be more information in Torah Sheba'al Peh, in the Gemaras that we have available to us today, to help us understand what Maisa Bereshis is, and those don't exist. It must be that it's not something that will improve my daily life and make me a better person because of my knowledge, or I would have to know how it happened and what it means. Since I'm in the dark, that's the best thing for me. And I believe that's true about everybody. We don't need to know it. We don't have it. If we needed to know it, and if it would make you a better person, who'd be better at everything he does, you would have it in your hands. You'd understand it much better than what I do. I wish I could tell you more, but my limitations in this field are due to my desire to be more astute in other lines of research. So whether the world is 15 billion years old or 5,778 years old, we'll have to wait until I master my desire to have another cookie before I go to bed. I didn't have that cookie, by the way. I felt bad enough when I wrote it, just so you know. I did have a piece of cake, but I didn't have a cookie, so it worked out well. I said, have a great night slash day from Chicago. I think that this was the greatness of a man like Avraham Avinu. A person like Avraham Avinu living in a world where people were enmeshed in what they were doing and how they acted, their actions and reactions throughout the world, where they believed that there were gods of wind and thunder and sun and light and dark, and everything had its own separate god. Hormiz and Ahormiz, as the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, where there's no way that a human being that has so filled with Kedusha and Tahara and yet has so much Tumah and destruction within him can be the same person. It's impossible, said the philosophers. Impossible for it to be that way. We believe that everything goes together. Avraham Avinu looked at the world and found Hashem. People, look outside. Are you going to find God through nature? Are you going to be able to do that? What did Avraham Avinu know that we don't know? What kind of science did he have that proved to him that God existed? The Medrash tells us a little bit that he went outside and he saw the sun in the sky and he said, the sun is in charge. The sun set and the moon came up. And he said, the moon is in charge. When the stars are all of his servants. And when the moon went down, the sun came up again. He said, someone's in charge of both of them. Someone's in charge of both. And he goes to Nimrod. And Nimrod told him, according to one Medrash, that the mountains are in charge, that the wind is in charge. That going from one to the other. From one to the other after over there. I am sure that Avraham Avinu saw the structure, the way it works. He saw the ideas, a pattern that seems predetermined. A pattern throughout the entire world that seems that way. Did he have problems? Issues came up that seemed to be stiras, that seemed to be contradictory or hypocritical to the world that he was seeing? I am sure he saw them. But he saw a world that works in so many ways that doesn't make any sense at all. No matter how much we learn throughout our science, no matter how much we look at our DNA structures, and we go further and further and further down, and they're doing amazing things. Scientists are doing absolutely amazing things to heal people, to make our lives better, stronger, longer lives. They're doing amazing things. But the fact is, he looked at it and said, there's a pattern here. There's deviations, minor deviations. Those deviations show that there's a plan. And this is what Avraham Avinu was seeing, a structure where everything works and minor things that are going wrong in which you see he's in charge. And the greatest thing is that we come along with Bechira and we are allowed to create, improve, and deviate from the world that he made. He looked at it and said, this is amazing, amazing. It's not the opposite. It's not that since I have power and can do things, therefore there is no God and I'm in charge. It's that there's a world that is amazing without me, and I have the ability to change it for good or for bad. He saw that. That's what proved it to him. That's what allowed him to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything that nature has to offer. And that's our job in our own way, whether we're able to see it through science, through math, or whether they're able to see it through our Maamari Chazal and the Gemaras we learn and the amazing structure that they built for us. We have to see it ourselves, find it ourselves, and look at it and say, this is it. Enough so that you can convince other people. I don't mean just other people in the street where you go around with a little sign saying, believe in God or you'll die. I mean convince your family, your children. What are they going to, what's the answer that you're going to give them when they ask you, and they will, how do you know what we're doing is correct? How do you know that this is the right thing? How do we know it? You just answer, whatever. If you ignore them, they're going to be upset. They're going to get angry. It is your job to find it now. You have time now to look at it. Look at the patterns. Look at the structure. Look for something that convinces you the world is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's, and it's up to me to be part of it. to decide what world we're in, to see where man has his place in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's great and awesome world. Where are you? How do we fit in? Where is our little part in everything that happens? Are you going to have every answer? No, you are not going to have every answer. I don't know what the reaction of this woman is. I didn't get it back yet. I don't know what's going to end up being with an answer like this. What I basically did is I broke down her structure. She thinks the world is 15 billion years old because of the science around her. She thinks the Torah should fit in with the narrative that the scientists say. So therefore, this is what the Torah says. It can work out. But how do I know that everything else in the Torah is valid? My basic answer to her is that you're wrong. You're wrong. That's not how the Torah goes. Could I explain it the way she does? Of course. And say that at some, you know, the first 6 days were different, period, and then everything else is the same. I could say that. We could all do that if we wanted to. But I wanted to show her that's not the way the Torah works. Torah is Torah, and everything else doesn't have to fit in. You can end off with a question. You have to learn how to end off with a question. Learn how to ask these questions and know what to answer. We are a religion, we are a nation, we are a people that cherishes kushyos atzumos. Atzarachin gador, Hashem yair einai. We want it. But you have to know what I ask. You need to have a basis. And work on that now. See where that can bring you. See where that gets you. It's so much work, but it's so worth it. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. I know I'm getting there. I know I'm on my way. We can all build ourselves up to become better and better when it comes to our ability to understand what God wants with us in this world.